Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight to have you on board with us each and every day as we face the issues. Looking forward to this broadcast each day as we allow you, our listeners, to dial the number 831-0917, 831-0917, to join in the dialogue and discussion. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today the horrific shooting out in Uvalde, Texas, where an 18-year-old failed high school graduate did not graduate. He failed in his studies. He had an argument with his grandmother, shot her, and took off down the road and stopped at the school and decided to shoot everybody in sight. And the question that we're asking today, whose fault was it? Is the gun government or God? Whose fault is it? How did this horrific event take place? What caused it? Who is responsible for it? How can it be stopped in the future? All of those things we're going to be talking about today, and I'd love to hear your input, your thoughts on it, your dialogue and discussion about the issue. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not based on denominational dogma or some political ideological bent or some philosophical rhetoric. We base the dialogue and discussion on issues each and every day as we face them based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word is the truth book. It does not fail us. It shall always remain. It is something that is true, and we need to seek truth in our lives. In fact, in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made the statement, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. It is the truth of the Word. It's God's Word that should be the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our pathway. It is the truth of the Word of God that we need to use as the guide point, as the, if you please, the guidebook, the modus operandi for how we live our lives each and every day. And may I just simply touch on this? In the study of and the review of all of the school shootings in the past, I've discovered there's a common denominator, And let me say this at the outset. That common denominator is simply this, that each of the shooters had been on drugs, were on drugs. Each of the shooters had not been involved in church or religious activity or anything in relationship to looking at what the Word of God says. Each of the shooters in some way had been involved in the garbage that's online, where they have the war games and the shootings. All of them had been involved in public school at some point in time. And that scenario, life is worthless. Abortion is okay. Murder is all right. That's what's happening by the hundreds of thousands each year in America. Abortion, committing murder. The students in school are taught that they're just simply a product of a blob in the ocean by way of evolution. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're watching the same thing with the same common denominator played out in a different locale, a different vicinity, a different school with a different person, but the same backdrop, the same difficulties, same problems exist. We'll talk about that during this broadcast today. We're going to be talking about what, when, why, where, and how can we fix it? What needs to be done? Those are the issues I believe that we need to talk about, and not just talk about banning guns that the President of the United States just got through harping on, along with his sidekick, Kamala Harris. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, truth is something that's not sought today. In fact, most of the media today are talking about what has happened, how horrific it is, but they're not getting to the underlying core elementary facts in the case as to what caused it. They're saying we need to find out why he did this, what happened. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's be the same scenario that you find in each and every one of the other school shootings where multiple people have been shot summarily. It is a result of a depraved mind. It's a result of a sin. It is the fact that in Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? It is the fact that it is a demonic modus operandi where demons are actively working, involved in moving upon the hearts and the lives of people today, especially the kids today that are in our public governmentally controlled school systems. Yes, let me say, tell you up front, and we'll talk about it during the course of this broadcast. If you've got a child or a grandchild in a public school, take them out. Put them in another school system, at least one where there is safety provided for the child in school, plus where there is an opportunity to study the Word of God, to read the Word, to pray, have the pledge to the flag, be taught that America is a great nation and not a horrific nation. Put them in a school where the critical race theory is not taught. Put them in a school where the sodomite lifestyle known as the LGBTQ is not promulgated. Put them in a school where pornography is not being taught and called sexual education. And I could go on and on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, that kind of truth is not embraced today. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely factually true today. This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe God calls on each and every one of us, especially as Christians, to speak the truth and stand for the truth, even if we have to stand alone. That is the call from the Word of God, that we as believers be salt and light in a deadly, decaying, dark, and dying society. And I believe it's time Christians do that. I believe it's time we stand for truth and defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the hurricane equipment, the backup equipment for hurricane season. Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not all. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. Tools for Time is family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its staff and members to be involved in worship in the house of God, with the church of God, with the people of God, as God ordained it. Drop by Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a very serious thing, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of our listeners today, you've already heard the bad news, the horrific news about the gunman going into the school in Uvalde, Texas. And by the way, the school has about 600 students in the school. But ladies and gentlemen, our entire nation today, we stand in mourning for this senseless, demonically controlled mind going in and shooting, I believe the latest number is 19 children and 3 adults. That is a fluid number because that number could go up with some of those that's in the hospital if they do not survive. But I'm praying that it does not go up in number. But ladies and gentlemen, we mourn with those families. Those families will never be the same. Never be the same. There will never be that healing that supposedly time will bring about. There'll always be that empty seat at the table. There'll always be that heartbreak of moms and dads. There will always be that sense of what could we have done to change the outcome of what has taken place. In fact, with one of the family members said that his 10-year-old daughter did not want to go to school that day, and they insisted that she go. She was one of the ones shot and killed. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to pray for those families. Pray for the ones that are involved in the trying to go back through and set everything in place and find out what took place and why it took place and what went wrong and how it went wrong. Pray for those that were involved in the going in to try to squelch the shooter. And we should be thankful for the Border Patrol agent that went in and neutralized the shooter, even though he was shot in the leg himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is a tragedy of tragedy. It's an unspeakable, demonic tragedy that's taken place. All of the media outlets are wringing their hands today. Listen very carefully. All of the media outlets are wringing their hands with the reporters trying to figure out what are the little amount of news can we glean from this? What other approach can we take to analyze this? And they're all asking some basic questions, though, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying the news media is, how would you say, upstanding. I don't trust the media. But anyway, most of them ask the question, why did it happen? How could this have happened? What went wrong? What could cause an 18-year-old to run into a school and start shooting? Now, we know what happened, but let's talk about some of the facts that we do know. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about Salvador, the gentleman, 18 years old, Ramos, Salvador Ramos, that did the shooting, 18 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat at the risk of redundancy. This young man had a very, very, as best we can glean at the present time, very difficult past. He had a very difficult time with people. But let's just talk about some of the things that we do know. Then we're going to transition to what we do not know, transition to what I believe caused it, and then say we need to look at what can we do? What is the need? How should this be handled to prevent this sort of thing from happening again? Joe Biden just got through ranting and raving about how we need to grow a backbone and pass gun control. Now, we'll talk about that further in this broadcast, but will one more law outlawing guns, will one more law restricting our Second Amendment right, will one more law prevent something this from taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, it's evident that the states and the cities across America, all of which are blue states and cities, that is Democrat, all the states and the cities across America that have some of the most stringent gun control laws have the greatest number of gun violence and gun shootings. So if a gun control law, another law, could restrict it and stop these potentialities, why has that worked in the cities and states where they have the strongest gun control laws on the books? Will one more law change it? No. Will another law, another 10? How many more laws will it take to stop the violence? How about just total gun confiscation? Would that stop gun violence? Absolutely, unequivocally, no, it would not. But some of the things that we do know, ladies and gentlemen, Salvador Ramirez, one that did the shooting, is 18 years old. He killed his grandmother. You know why he killed her? Because of the argument over the fact that he had failed to graduate. He had been kicked out of school. He had dropped out, that is. He had dropped out of school because he was not making the grade, and he did not graduate. She was talking to him about it, and evidently, he got angry with her, shot her, and left driving down that road, came to the Robb Elementary School, stopped, rushed in with body armor on, pulled out at least two weapons that he had just bought for himself for his 18th birthday, went in guns a-blazing and shot these kids and adults. He worked at a fast food restaurant. The fast food restaurant said that he was quiet, had nothing to do with the other people, would just simply do his work and collect his paycheck. He shot and killed, ladies and gentlemen, at least 19 people, 19 kids, 7 to 10 years old. And as we understand it, at this point, 3 teachers. We're going to talk about that during the course of this broadcast. We're going to analyze as much as we can, scrutinize it, but looking at it from the standpoint of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Remember, God's word says in Psalms 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." God looks at our children as being a heritage from the Lord. Do we treat them that way? Do we recognize that? I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning. Yeah, everyone's reading and trying to figure out why somebody would do something like this. And then all the questions, you know, why would God allow this? What's the lesson here? What could have been done to stop this? All the questions. Reaching out to the families that have lost children, and then I think it was one teacher that was killed also. In Psalms chapter 34, at verse 11, he says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite or crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Our God knows these folks are suffering and that their hearts are crushed, and he will draw them near to him. These little children, you were just saying, they belong to God. As horrible as this is, those little children, I believe, haven't reached the age of accountability, and they won't be held accountable for things they could have done. I mean, quite frankly, the innocence of a child is also spoken of in Matthew, I believe, chapter 18. Those little children belong to God. As horrible as it is for them to be taken in a violent fashion, and I'm speaking from the background of having lost a child that was about 22 months old, as horrible as it is to lose one, those children belong to God. Things could have been worse. Why did God allow this? We may not know till we get to heaven, but God can absolutely comfort those hearts of those grieving families, and he will work through this, like in Romans 8:28, I believe, it says, "All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." He can work through this tragedy, unthinkable tragedy, he can still work through it and pull that community together and pull people to himself for salvation and for dependence on him. They can't see it right now, but it's already in the works. Now,
absolutely.
The question,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn Youngblood, one of our 4 sons. Glenn is a retired law enforcement officer for less than 100 years. Glenn, let me touch on something and get your response. Looking at an article, it says, "Border Patrol agent reportedly rushed into Uvalde school without backup to shoot and kill the gunman." Dateline, May 24th. "Border Patrol agent is being hailed as a hero over a report that the officer rushed into the scene of mass shooting in order to shoot and kill the 18-year-old assailant. An Associated Press report said that the Border Patrol agent was nearby when the shooting began, and he rushed into the fray with the gunman when the gunman was barricaded inside the school. The agent was wounded in the confrontation, but able to walk out of the school. Risking their own lives, these Border Patrol agents and other officers put themselves between the shooter and the children on the scene to draw the shooter's attention away from the potential victims and save lives," end quote. Further, the article states, officials said that the suspect had shot his 66-year-old grandmother before he went on to shoot the mass shooting at the school. from a law enforcement background, tell us what you see, what you have gleaned from the response of law enforcement there at that school and the event, and what do you see as something could have been done or should have been done from a law enforcement standpoint?
Well, what would Grandma have said? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. On the television, you see, I don't know, it's probably over 100 law enforcement vehicles. You have the local police. I saw some from probably as far away as 80 miles, looking at some of the names that came to respond. Why didn't we have a police officer dedicated to that school? We've learned this lesson over and over and over again. Why didn't we have somebody already protecting those children? The other agencies, they all came to help. That's good. But the time that it took for this tragedy to happen was just a few minutes. It was just a few minutes. For the same reason we secure our own homes and we can protect our own homes, because it takes a while for a police officer to get there. If there had been a police officer stationed there, he may have been able to immediately engage the threat. It's my understanding that there was a police chase, that he had killed his mother, then they pursued him, and then when he wrecked or bailed out of his vehicle, he ran towards the school. It said in one article that they had engaged him at that point, and he still was able, I guess he was shooting at the police officers at that point that had chased him, but he still was able to get inside the school. So the next question is, how did he get in? Was there a door unlocked? Was there, I mean, generally they don't have windows open. I would hope not. But having been assigned to protect schools in the capacity of the police officer in the past, on my off-duty days, we would take an assignment for city overtime to guard a school, and that would rotate throughout the week, or somebody who had several days off would be guarding the same school. And then eventually the school board, the Duval County School Board, had their own police department start doing that, where they had a police officer assigned to a school on a permanent basis. And that's probably the best scenario, because that officer would know all the ins and outs and all the hallways and all the procedures in the school. But I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that I could go around and pull on the doors and find them locked, and then go to some areas where somebody who needed to go out went out and blocked the door open, either to take out garbage or whatever. I'm not going to identify where the weak spots are, just for the safety of other schools. But it is very difficult to continually go behind school workers, cafeteria workers, or maintenance workers who are unlocking things during the course of their job, and then have to lock things back to make sure it's safe. It has to be an accountability for the entire school and every person working in the school. In Israel, we don't have these kinds of problems. We know that they have terrorists and stuff in Israel. You hear things on the news, but what do you not hear? You don't hear about somebody running into a school and killing people, because the teachers are armed. They know that the teachers are armed, okay, and that it would be a suicide mission for them to go into a school to try to kill people. We should have learned this lesson years ago. From Columbine to Parkland and other schools that were attacked, the assailant, for whatever reason, I mean, we can dig into why, but the perpetrator has made up his mind he's going to kill as many as possible, and many times they don't care if they're killed themselves. They're on their mission to go down. It's a suicidal mentality, and you must understand that a person who is suicidal, really suicidal, they are homicidal. They will take you with them. They've made up their mind to die, and they don't care how many they take with them. That's what makes it so dangerous. It's the police officer's job to get between the perpetrator or suspect and the innocent. It's the police officer's job to defend the innocent. Why, here we go again, why wasn't there someone assigned to that school? Is that something that local community hadn't decided they wanted to do? Is it something they couldn't afford? There seems to be plenty of money out there for everything that the federal government will fund. Why wasn't there someone there in defense? I mean,
Glenn, you touched on something, Glenn, that I think is very important. Most of our listeners may not be aware of the fact that through the CARES Act, that is funds set aside by the federal government for COVID relief, they set aside $200 billion, that's with a B, $200 billion for the schools across America. I understand from research on it that over half of it, about $100 billion, has not been tapped, that's still available. So they cannot, the school boards across America cannot say that it's an impossibility for them to protect the school and protect the students because they don't have the funds. They have the funds available. The problem is, Glenn, I've discovered that most of these funds are going through the National Educational Association and other teaching unions, and it's being siphoned off for other programs, i.e., they don't have any problem finding money to teach the sodomite lifestyle in the schools. They don't have a problem finding the money to teach the 1619 lie in our public schools. They don't have problems finding the money to teach the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle in our public schools. They don't have a funding problem to set up the students, as with several schools, and I've got an article before me, several schools where they've set up online LGBTQ sites for the students to sit and watch and look and be recruited and indoctrinated with the LGBTQ lifestyle. They don't have a problem finding funds like that, but evidently there's a mindset that they can't afford to protect the students in the public schools. Glenn, I say to every parent, every grandparent tuned in today, if you've got a child in the public school system or a grandchild in the public school system, take them out. Put them in a homeschool group. Put them in a Christian school. Put them in any school but a public school system where your child becomes a sitting duck for someone to come in just as this has taken place. So, Glenn, you're exactly right. We need to, and by the way, I've gone back and looked at, reviewed the facts on about eight other school shootings since about 2000, 1999 and following. And each and every one of them, Glenn, I find a common denominator. I'm going to touch on this and then get you to respond to it. The common denominator is that these kids, I'm going to call them, 18 to 21 years of age, 18, 19, 16, 17 years of age, they're not brought up in a Christian home, generally speaking. They have rebelled against mom and dad. They either own some type of drug like Ritalin or other drugs that keep them hyped up. They're on that type of drug or on marijuana or other drugs. They have access to weapons in the home that the parents do not know has been stolen by their sons or daughter, in this case the sons, to be used. Each of these, in each and every scenario, it was a drug problem, a lack of a moral, ethical, spiritual problem because of not being trained in the home like that. It is a matter of rebellion and rejection, a refusal to be obedient to society and to the laws, for the laws of the land. I found that to be a common denominator. Now, from law enforcement background, am I all wet or is that all right, or is that a potential of being a root cause?
No, you're right on the money. The analysis of the folks on multiple different mood-altering medications, whether they're trying to bring them up or bring them down or balance them out, The danger is if they stop taking the medication. I'm not saying you couldn't have a danger taking it, but across the board, we've seen when they are off of their medication because they say it makes them feel funny, they'll stop. And then it causes the reverse effect where they'll go manic, super manic, or depressed. Your bipolar issues are in that as well. And it, depending on the medication, they could actually go into a psychotic episode. And then everybody goes, well, what happened? You know, they normally took their medication and stuff, but if they were off of it for a few days and it was controlling, holding down some emotion and or relieving, I guess, the mental anguish that the person normally suffers, when that is taken away from them, they can go to one or two extremes, all the way down to suicidal, depression and suicidal, or all the way up where they'll just do something crazy and either hurt themselves or somebody else. In the state of Florida, we have what's called a Baker Act. If we respond to a call and determine that the person is a danger to themselves or others or likely to be abused or suffer abuse, then they can be taken into protective custody, and they're subject to up to a 72-hour mental evaluation to determine if they need medication or if they're still a danger, and they have to go through the evaluation process. There's a location on 20th Street in Jacksonville, also the MHRC, Mental Health Resource Centers on Beach Boulevard, and of course, most of your hospitals have been set up as receiving facilities for this sort of thing.
Glenn, hold your thought there for just a moment. We've got a hard break for the top of the hour news. But we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the news. We're talking with Glenn Youngblood, one of our four sons, a law enforcement, retired law enforcement agent. We're talking about this tragedy in Texas.
Visit conservative.edu.